Turn to Revelation 19. Revelation 19. An amazing passage of scripture that we have a privilege to be a part of this morning. Revelation 19, after these things, I heard something like a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, "Hallelujah, salvation and glory and power belong to our God, because his judgments are true and righteous, for he has judged the great harlot who is corrupting the earth with her immorality, and he has avenged the blood of his bondservants on her." And a second time they said, "Hallelujah, her smoke rises up forever and ever." And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sits on the throne, saying, "Amen. Hallelujah." And a voice from the throne saying, "Give praise to our God, all you his bondservants, you who fear him, the small and the great." Then I heard something like a voice of a great multitude, and like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of many peals of thunder, saying, "Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns." Loving Father, we praise you for that truth. I pray you would minister to your people this word. I would ask that you would touch their hearts and encourage them in every way. And Father, it's been a week for all of us that we've had to look to you again. And we praise you that we can look to you and be confident that you hear our cry. You hear our voice. You hear our prayers. And you answer. Father, we set this time before you now. We pray your spirit would move and you would help me as I proclaim in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I pondered this text, I was reminded of the Hallelujah chorus from Handel's Messiah. It begins with a fourfold Hallelujah. Some of those lyrics read like this: "The kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." Some of the lyrics of that are this way as well: "King of kings and Lord of lords, and he shall reign forever and ever." And that Hallelujah chorus finishes in this way: "Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah." Praise God. Praise God. I believe the lyrics come from this passage. Did I miss one of those? Were you counting? I thought I had four or five. Sorry, Handel. But this is one, Revelation 19. It's one of the most dramatic worship scenes in the book of Revelation. And indeed, I believe in all of the Bible. These verses are a preview. Listen to me. These verses are a preview of what we are going to see in heaven and say in heaven and be a part of in heaven. The church is going to experience this. So that kind of is a big deal. That's a big deal. You and I are participants in this event. We've come a long ways in this book of Revelation. It's been amazing for us to walk through this. We began with the introduction in chapter 1, chapters 2 and 3, Jesus speaking to the church about the things that are, and chapters 4 and on about the things that are to come. That's where we're at. We just stepped out of chapters 17 and 18, where we see Babylon, that great harlot, where she's judged and she falls. And then we stepped from that and we went through all of it. You guys remember all those judgments, the seal judgments, the trumpet judgments, the bowl judgments. This last 17 and 18 is an explanation of that last judgment, the bowl judgments. And here we are. And it's like, all right, now we're moving on, you know, to what we are now going to see, and soon Christ will reign. So what we're picking up here in these first few verses, I believe if anyone would read them, and there's no explanation outside of someone giving comment on it, if someone just reads these first six verses, a believer walking with the Lord, empowered by the Spirit of God, I'll tell you, it will stir your soul. It sure ought to. There's a threefold Hallelujah here. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. There's notes on the back of your bulletin if you want to take notes. By the way, welcome all those that are online listening. It's good to be with you today as well. Verses 1 and 2, there's the first Hallelujah. "After these things, I heard something like a loud voice, a great multitude in heaven saying, Hallelujah. Salvation and glory and power belong to our God because his judgments are true and righteous. He's judged a great harlot who is corrupting the earth with her immorality, and he has avenged the blood of his bondservants on her. This picture can hardly be put to words. This first hallelujah, you see the multitude there. We have something like this in chapters 4 and 5 of Revelation, where we had that preview to our heavenly home. Turn back there just for a moment. Revelation 5, I want to read you just some of that worship that was there that we were able to see. Chapter 4, more focused on the Father and God and the throne. Chapter 5, more on the Son. And in verses 11 to 19, chapter 5, not 11 to 19, 11 through 14, I want to read those. Let God speak to you here. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and number of them was myriads and myriads, thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches, wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things." And I heard saying to him who sits on the throne, "And to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever." And the four living creatures kept saying, "Amen." The elders fell down and worshiped. What a scene. What a scene. The worship of the Lamb. It is here that the praise of God is set before us. And I want you to know it is loud. You guys may be tired of me saying this. Look at Revelation 19, verse 1. "After these things, I heard something like a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven." It's loud. And they're saying hallelujah and so forth. Loud in the original is the word megalene, and it means mega or great or very loud. So, in heaven, the worship there is going to resound in loud voices. And I keep pressing you guys, when we sing, you know, all worship is not loud on this side of heaven, certainly is not. We can, in quietness of our hearts, be worshiping deeply to our Lord. But, you know, when we get together, we need to sing it for the glory of the Lord because he's worthy, see. Sing it loud. Don't worry about what others think. It's to him that we worship. So, mega loud, loud. And we've come a long way, let me tell you that. We've come a long way here, and I appreciate that. I think that's right. The word hallelujah is before us. A great multitude in heaven, they're loud. And it says here, hallelujah, salvation and glory and power belong to our God. And it goes on to speak of the rest of that worship there in verse 2. But the word hallelujah, this is amazing. The word hallelujah is the same in all languages of the world. Did you know that? All the languages of the world have a common thread. This word, hallelujah, it's all languages of the world. It simply means praise the Lord. Not a quiet expression of prayer, but rather a great voice of many people in heaven. And the outburst of praise sounded like many waters, the voice of many thundering. Apparently, God is going to change the ability of many ears to hear that which is loud, because heaven is filled with the word loud. It's interesting. Hallelujah. All the languages, and it's going to be loud. It's going to be loud. There's this outburst of praise that is before us. And the word loud is found 70 times in the Bible, in the New American Standard Translation. Of those 70 times, 21 times it's reserved for this book of Revelation. When this occurs in heaven, it's going to be really loud. And I have to tell you, brother, sister, I can't wait to sing it with you guys and the saints of old. What a scene. What a scene. You know what we see in this book? Hope. We see hope. What do we see in the world? Hopelessness. No hope. Chaos. A broken, sin-stained world where ugly things happen. What do we set before us? What's God set before us here? Hope. Praise. Glory. Brother, sister, we're going to do it together one day in heaven. Notice the lyrics here. Hallelujah. What does it mean? It means praise the Lord. And like I said, it's found just a number of times in the Bible, and hallelujah is only found a few times. No, I think I just, let me back up. Hallelujah is found four times in the Bible. It's going to be loud, it's going to be expressed, and those four times are found right in these verses right here. What beautiful lyrics. These lyrics, hallelujah. Again, it praise the Lord. I find it amazing that God has reserved this word as an expression of praise for what's unfolding at this moment in time. Again, in all the Bible, this is the only place that you find hallelujah. In the King James, it's hallelujah. But you find it right here and right here alone. And what's that all about? That's all about God working through this great plan that he has where Jesus is going to step up, rule, and reign forever and ever. We saw that in chapter 11, verse 17. That was one of those verses that it was a pivot point in this book. Revelation 11, 17, saying, we give thanks to our Lord. We give thanks, O Lord God, the Almighty, who are and who were, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. It's begun. And so we see it here. It's mentioned before, and now the time has come. And you'll see the reasons here as well in verse 2. Because his judgments are true and righteous, for he has judged the great harlot who was corrupting the earth with her immorality, and he has avenged the blood of his servants on her. His vengeance. He has avenged those who have rebelled against him and have killed his children. Vengeance has come. And his vengeance, his judgment is right and righteous. Romans 12:19 says, never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it's written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Paul is quoting from Deuteronomy 32:25, where God says, vengeance is mine. Again, let's not think on this side of heaven that God is never going to move and he's never going to judge. He will. He'll make all things right. He's holy and true. And that's what we've seen him doing. And he does that here. And God's people are saying, praise his name. Hallelujah. For it's happened. And we will be a part of that. He's avenged himself. God is bringing vengeance on those who stood against him, having spilled the blood of the saints. You see that in the last part of verse 2. He's avenged the blood of his bondservants on her. He's brought his judgment to her. I believe that's also an answer to the prayer that we saw in Revelation chapter 6, verse 10. Of those martyrs under the throne, they cried out with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Remember those earth dwellers? They killed the saints of God. And they had prayed out, they cried out for justice, and justice came. So they are praising the Lord, and he's holy and true. He is holy and true. That's what he is. So he must work. God is perfectly holy, perfectly true. Those are his attributes. That's part of the plea from Revelation 6:10. And his actions overflow always from this and what he has done. Brother, sister, this may be hard for you to get your mind around at this point in time. But what he has done is worthy of praise. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Salvation and glory belong to him. They do. And the future belongs to him. It does. And so we praise his name. Do you know him? Are you thankful that he saved you? Do you have reason to give a hallelujah to him today? I think you do. I think you do. We praise his great name always. The second hallelujah is verses 3 and 4. And a second time they said, hallelujah, her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sits on the throne, saying, amen, amen, hallelujah, hallelujah. So it's the small and the great. Everyone's included. The redeemed of all the ages, it seems to me, are here. The multitude, you see it in verse 3, it's a second time they cry out. They're there. And part of that multitude is the 24 elders and the four living creatures. And the lyrics again, her smoke rises up. We read that it rises up to heaven forever and ever. I believe this is a reference. This reference to forever and ever applies to the millennial kingdom. It only applies to the eternal state. And the specifics are there. The elders and the four living creatures, they join in praise to the Lord. I believe this worship is directed to at least two members of the Trinity. The worship's directed to the Father and to the Son. Now, again, if you go back to chapter 4 and 5, you see both the Father and Son there. You see worship directed to both there. The four elders, I believe, are representative of the church. The four living creatures, they are cherubim. They all are before the Lord in worship and praise to His great name. And brother and sister, we're going to join that hallelujah in heaven and be part of that. The church is there as well as others. The third hallelujah is found in verses 5 through 6. Third hallelujah is a call to praise here. A voice from the Lord saying, there's the voice from the Lord. Give praise to our God, all you, His bondservants, you who fear Him, the small and the great. So this voice comes. A voice came from the throne. I believe heaven is directing this message. In verse 6, I heard something like the voice of a great multitude, like the sound of many waters, like the sound of many peals of thunder, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Again, you have this call to worship. And I believe the Lord is worshiping, directing in praise to Himself here, as He should. I can imagine a booming voice with words so crystal clear, right up to this third hallelujah, and we're reading of this worship scene, and the Lord is behind it all, and it's because of what is unfolding before the participants that they are giving glory to God. Jesus, in this text, is on the doorstep of reigning on the earth. And we have reason, they have reason to give praise for that. The great harlot, she's been judged and doomed by God forever. And the multitude in heaven just burst forth in this glorious praise. In this third praise, however, it's a little different. There's this call from the throne. I love that. This call to worship the Lord. And then you see the participants, again, all the redeemed from all the ages. It's there. We've seen that. It continues just, you know, calling all the people to praise. And He mentions here, all you His bondservants. What a beautiful thought. God's people are called, in verse 5, bondservants, and they are participating here as well. I don't know what you think of this and what others maybe would think, but you know, this is the whole thought of being a bondservant to the Lord. It may not sound so appealing, but I'm telling you, what a great, great note. I was at a funeral lately for an amazing, godly woman, and it was something to take that in. Her life was full of leading others to the Lord. It was full of teaching others the Word, her walk with the Lord as a wife and a mother and a grandmother were amazing. But the one thing that kept coming back to me was her persistence as she served the Lord. Her son told me after the funeral that she was directly responsible for his coming to faith in Christ. She wouldn't let him go. She kept bringing the gospel to him until he came to faith. We see this term in verse 5 there, the bondservants, all you His bondservants, that's what she was. That's what she was. This, again, may seem to some as a demeaning term at the present time, but I want you to know that that's not at all the case before God. And I believe for any of us, it should be a term of endearment for our love and our giving of our life to Him. Those called to praise Him, there's bondservants serving the Lord. They've served and served and served. Prior to the cross, just before Jesus gets there, Philippians 2:7 says this of Him, of Christ, He emptied Himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. He was a bondservant. That's what Jesus was. I praise Him for that. Romans 1:1 saw Paul referred to himself. Paul, a bondservant, a slave of Christ. That's what that means. Everything he did was all about Christ. He wanted to serve Him. He'd been gloriously saved. And out of love, he wanted to serve him. 2 Timothy 2:24, the Lord's bondservant is speaking to Timothy. Timothy, you're a bondservant. Let me tell you about what a bondservant ought to be. But he referred to Timothy in that way. James, he referred to himself in this way. Simon Peter, excuse me, I'm ahead of myself or behind. I'm ahead of myself. Peter referred to himself as a bondservant. That's what he was. These guys said, they're all saying this is who we are. We're slaves of Christ. We're here to serve him. It's not about us. It's about serving the Lord. That involves people. That's where it gets difficult. But that's where we're at. James said the same thing. He's a bondservant of God. Bondservant of God. How would you see yourself today? How would you see yourself today? Jude refers to himself in the same way. This describes someone with a deep reverence and respect for the Lord and someone who wants to give themselves over completely to him. And I'll tell you, the greatest freedom I've ever known is when I get close to this. The greatest joy I have in my life is when I get close to this. And that may seem like an oxymoron. How can that be? But I will just tell you from experience, there's joy there. There's satisfaction there. May God move all of us closer to that place today. He talks about these bondservants. And then he says, you who fear him, verse 5. All you as bondservants, you who fear him. That's a reverential respect. It is deep for the Lord. Someone who's growing with him. As we press on with the Lord, there should be this greater fear of him. And reverence. All the saints there. It says, the small and the great, verse 5, the last part of that. They're all there. And I think it's beautiful that they're there. In their heart's desires to give praise to the Lord. The lyrics there. These are lyrics that I'm going to have you guys participate in this morning. Because I believe we're all going to say this in heaven. You guys actually, I don't know if you knew, but you read this. That was our scripture reading this morning as a congregation. But there's something that stands out to me here, and I want us to say it together. You guys ready? Hallelujah. For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Now, if I'm reading this right, it's going to be loud. Let's do it one more time. You ready? Hallelujah. For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. You've said it here. Brother, sister, you're going to say it again in heaven. Isn't that cool? To have this insight, to have this picture that is set before us, it just resonates with hope, with hope, with hope. I want to wind this thing up, and I want to say to you, that should do something for us. That should do something for us. We ought to be men and women of God who overflow with thanksgiving. We really should. Psalm 92:1 says, it's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord and sing praises to your name, O Most High. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. We ought to be men and women who are full of hope and joy and thanksgiving. We've got a great future. You know, knowing something fun or great is around the corner stirs us today. It makes us feel different about today. This should make us feel different about all the challenges we face in this society, at our jobs, with those who surround us. It's good. It's good to give thanks to him. It is. It is. We should be all about praise. Why? The Almighty. The Almighty reigns. Hallelujah. Verse 6. For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. He reigns. He does. And we have every reason to give thanks. We have every reason to be full of joy and hope and to give desire to give to others what we have. We're going to experience this. We'll be a part of it. We've said it. And one day in heaven, we'll say it perfectly. It'll be with perfect pitch, with a perfect voice, and with no sin in our lives or no desire or no battle with the old man. We'll be perfect before the Lord. Praise the Lord. All the saints, praise be to God for sure. Well, I want to just touch on one thing, then I'll leave you with a concluding thought. Hebrews 13:15, through him, that's through Christ then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. The whole thought of God reigning and giving praise and our salvation, they all come together. Nothing happened to me last week without God pre-approving of it. Do you know that? So I was really challenged with this verse. I was supposed to come home Friday night. I'd been serving all week at Frontier School of Bible. I spoke five times, and I purchased tickets that would get me out of Denver at 3:15. I would go to Minneapolis, St. Paul, land in Escanaba at 9:30, give me a whole day Saturday to rest up, get my thoughts around what I was doing today. My wife got me up this morning. She didn't get me up. When we got up, she said, "You ready to preach today?" I said, "Yeah, but I'm not sure what I'm preaching on." I did know, but my mind, you know, and so it's been a lot. So what happened was, you guys ever heard of a ground spout? It's like a dust devil. Well, there's a little storm that went over Denver, Colorado, where I was flying from, at about 3 o'clock, 2:30 or so. All the flights got canceled everywhere, going every place. So it's a long story. Finally, my flight was delayed from 3:15 or 3:30 to 6 o'clock to 6:30. So now I got to get a different flight out of Minneapolis to get here. But I can't get here, so I'm going to go to Appleton, but I want to get back here. And my flight arrived in Minneapolis, St. Paul at about midnight our time. We actually left. I flew out of Denver when I was supposed to. I was an hour later than I was supposed to be home. So time I got a new flight, now it's 1 o'clock in the morning, and I'm not very good at trying to figure out on my phone, where is there a motel with shuttle service? Oh, here's one. No, they're full. Here's one. They're full. And it's getting later and later, and I'm like, oh, looks like I'm spending the night. And I'm not very happy about that. And I had to bring myself back to the place where I remember this. God's in control. I don't know what he has. I don't have a great story about leading someone to Christ because I stayed here overnight. I don't have that. I don't. But here's the thing. God's in control. He reigns. We see it here. It's in our lives. And we have a great hope that's set before us. Won't this be a day, folks? Well, this will be a day. I hope to be. I don't know. Sometimes I view, you know, we're going to have our own section up there, Barker Bible Church. We're singing together. I really don't think that's what's going to happen, but if I'm next to you, give me an elbow and say, yeah, remember that we talked about? Here we are. Here we are. Awesome. Absolutely awesome. Well, our lives should be lived as a sacrifice of praise to the Lord. We have every reason for that, brother, sister. Be encouraged today. Loving Father, we want to just say this. We so need your help. We don't live it here all the time as we should. You know that. But Father, thank you for these great truths. Thank you for the privilege of knowing you. Thank you that when we get off track, we can recognize our sin, repent of it, come to you and speak it, and know that if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us. Father, we have so much before us that is so secure and so beautiful. Help us to live that out in these moments before we step into glory or the Lord Jesus comes to take us back. Bless your people, Father. May they sense your great love and the wonderful hope that's before them. Use them, Father, because of that, to impact many and direct them back to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.